Hi, this is Jill Murphy from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Pharmacy Focus. The Pharmacy Times Pharmacy Focus podcast provides latest industry news and information, thought leader insights, clinical updates, patient counseling tools, and innovative solutions for the everyday practice and business of pharmacy. Before we begin with this week's episode, do you know how a man in the 19th century miraculously cured himself from certain death? We will reveal the answer at the end of the episode. In this week's episode, we will be discussing integrated care models in pharmacy and how to enhance the patient experience with Tony Willoughby, PharmD and president of Catalyst Health Group. Willoughby discussed how although there is a lot of value across the industry involving different care models, pharmacists are still following the standard, which has become a bigger issue.
We have been talking about it for years. I don't know that as either in primary care nor in pharmacy that we've consistently executed against it. I think there's a lot of people taking great value attempts and daring greatly to make a change. I still think the majority of the population has the common pharmacy experience, pharmacy physician experience. As a chronic condition patient, you go see your provider, you have a 15-minute appointment, and the last 90 seconds of that appointment, you get a treatment plan that usually includes medications. Ultimately, during that moment, you're asked, do you have any questions? And as a patient, we've just received a bunch of information. And so in the moment, we say no. And we go to our car. And by the time we get to our car, we have a bunch of questions. And so we start Googling and scaring ourselves. And then we get to the traditional pharmacy and we talk to a clerk and we're told drugs aren't covered or it'll be too long or too much. And if we stick with that as a patient, a pharmacist who's typically understaffed and doing their best is available upon request. And we're asked if we want to talk to the pharmacist and 1 in 10 say yes. And then the pharmacist comes over and asks if we have any questions and gives us the warnings of the drug because they got to get back to check the next prescription. And then that patient goes home and we expect them to engage in their therapy. The foundation of their therapy for that chronic condition. And ultimately they end up back in the doctor's office for a check-in 90 to 120 days later and nothing's changed. And that's what, although there's a lot of value attempts going on across the industry to improve that, unfortunately, that's the standard of care, which is a kind of Groundhog Day experience. And a big issue. You would never join the gym and get a trainer and go one time and get a plan and then say, I'll see you in 90 or 120 days and expect a lot of change. I think that the model has been challenged because of it's hard. The payment models aren't in place to sustain it. And it takes an iterative process. What we've worked on is to take the risk to start building that iterative process and spend a lot of time focusing on how do we have better handoffs in those moments that builds this trusted relationship and this endpoint for that patient during moments of doubt or need, that they have real-time communication with somebody that knows them. So that's a long answer, but although there's a lot of points of light out there, it's not a standard of care. And to make it a standard of care, it takes an iterative approach and giving people, patients, trusted touch point where they can be navigated in between those physician visits.
Some examples of success stories involving integrated care models and extended pharmacy care teams include interpreting new patient behaviors and iterative conversations with a pharmacy team.
We have thousands of stories over the last 5 years, and they're not all big bang type stories all the time. Sometimes they're really simple. There's only so much communication and active listening that can happen in a 15-minute physician appointment or 90 seconds at the pharmacy counter. And what we've done in our model is tried to create time, and to create time by giving that patient voice and listening to the patient to enable to understand the root cause of what's happening with the patient, and then making sure we close the last mile by getting their medication. So I'll give you a couple quick hitters of examples of that. We had a diabetic patient not long ago. Physician had tried multiple different therapies with the patient. Patient was claiming adherence to the medication. But just through iterative conversations with her pharmacy team, we found out that the patient loved mango juice, and she was drinking 3 to 4 glasses of mango juice throughout the mid-morning and afternoon. And that was causing her blood sugars to spike. That would have never came up in that typical scenario we talked about earlier. And it's not this big clinical change of changing therapy or making a huge adjustment. It was just taking time to listen and know the patient and their routines, and how to, because we knew the patient, knew their routines, and could communicate back to the physician, empowered that patient to make a change. And within 30 to 60 days, our blood sugars were in control and our A1C were in control, and we actually were able to reduce drug load for that patient. Give another quick similar story that was more therapy related, talking to a patient, asthmatic patient, also had hypertension. Hypertension was refractory. They had had multiple physician visits and drug adjustments. Our pharmacist was doing a regular check-in with them, noticed the patient was out of breath. Patient apologized that they had just been to the mailbox, and she asked about, well, do you get out of breath every time you go to the mailbox? And said recently, and she said, well, what are you doing for that? And he said, I use my rescue inhaler quite a bit. And through a long conversation, understanding the patient's history, we found out that the overuse of the rescue inhaler and a reaction to the rescue inhaler was causing the hypertension issue. It wasn't going to be solved by just updating and adjusting the hypertension therapy. It was really understanding what new behaviors that patient was taking on. We're able to get them on the right controller medication for their asthma, and then the hypertension resolved. All of those things, those two examples, and again, we have thousands of those, don't happen in that traditional longitudinal experience that I shared in the previous question.
We are taking a short break to celebrate pharmacy hero Manziel Pinchall, owner and pharmacy manager at East Norriton Pharmacy in Pennsylvania. Pinchall has used social media to educate patients on ways to stay safe during the COVID-19 pandemic, including proper ways to wear a mask and sanitize spaces. Pinchall has also used the pharmacy's Facebook page to advocate for local small businesses, encouraging patients to support them. The pharmacy donated $2 per new prescription to help fund small businesses, with the goal of collecting $5,000. If you would like to nominate a pharmacist or pharmacy staff member as a pharmacy hero, email the address in our description with your nominee. Now back to the show. Willoughby explained that the healthcare system likes to tell us information as patients, but it's not always great at listening to us or coordinating information given to us as patients in terms of helping those who have numerous chronic conditions.
A chronic condition patient may have 2 to 3 physician providers, may use multiple pharmacies, on multiple therapies, have multiple friends giving them multiple ideas and suggestions, consulting Dr. Google, and they're trying to assimilate all that information. What we try to do is connect them with somebody that can coordinate those moments in between the physician visits and in the moments when they're trying to assimilate all that information and make choices. Whether that's a minute choice in a given day or a next therapy choice, that they have somebody they can reach out to that knows them, knows their situation, that they don't have to repeat their story and be a sounding board and an advisor. And if you've ever been a chronic condition patient or been a caregiver to a chronic condition patient, just the level of anxiety and complexity that goes through navigation, which isn't even an all-encompassing term of trying to get through all the information and understand what the right next decision is daunting. And that's what the model does. And so it gives that source of truth during any of those moments that are needed. And so what we see is a highly empowered patient, a less anxious patient, that therefore is making better daily, minute by minute decisions. And so over time, you see their quality of life, their experience improve, you see their clinical markers improve. And ultimately, because we work in value-based arrangements, we see their utilization and total cost of care improve.
For the future, Willoughby hopes on a global standpoint that every chronic condition patient has access to a support team that is there to provide care, which establishes what was decided in the physician's exam room and is also translated into the home for the best clinical outcomes. Did you figure out our fun fact of the week? The way that a man in the 19th century miraculously cured himself from certain death was by drinking a lot of water, cleaning his wounds with compresses soaked in cold water, and regularly changing his bandages, which would soon become the water cure. In the early 19th century, hydropathic institutes became all the rage after Prieznitz miraculously healed himself following a rib injury that his doctor had proclaimed would lead to a certain death. By a stroke of intuition, Prieznitz proceeded to drink lots of water, clean his wounds with compresses soaked in cold water, and regularly change his bandages, allowing him to get back to his farming duties within several days. He quickly became the talk of the town. In this period, such treatment of an injury was not commonplace, and Prieznitz became known as a healer who used the power of water to cure all manners of injuries and illness. Despite the overwhelming positivity experienced by many in the public during their water cures, not all patients were provided such cures voluntarily. The involuntarily water-cured patients were those in the insane asylums of the time, where cold water had long been used as a punitive device. With the advent of cold water as an actual treatment, mental health doctors of the time seized on the opportunity and applied it to their less willing subjects with the hopes of reaping similar rewards. Thanks for listening to Pharmacy Focus. Stay tuned for next episode where we will be joined by another key opinion leader in the pharmacy space.